Thing that we're going to do this whole Sunday morning is we're going to be looking at these five, six verses in depth and answering the questions that you guys just began to answer. And that is, who are we talking about? Right? So that's the first question is, who are we talking about? And then my hope for you is that you would also kind of find your place. Right? You can see where you are and then what your responsibilities are. But what the responsibilities of the garden truly is. So, first question is, if you've ever done any gardening before, or if you've ever attempted to do any kind of gardening, right? What do you think is the goal, right? Nobody's goal, unless you're just that kind of weirdo, is the weeding process, right? Nobody's goal when they first plant a garden is like, you know what I'm looking forward to? The weeds, right? I'm looking forward to going out every day and doing that, right? I would hope, or I would think, I would assume, if you will, that the goal or the purpose of you growing a garden is this, right? You want the beauty that comes from that. Now, there is work, and I think anybody who started this process or even tried to go through this process, maybe you failed at this process. You know that there is a process to it. But this is still the goal, right? It's the fruit. It's the flowers. It's the beauty. It's what we can take from it. And when you're reading through John 15, you see that it's the same exact goal. The goal, it says, is in the vineyard. So when you're talking about vines and vineyards and branches, it says the goal is what? To bear fruit, right? It's exactly right. It's not just to be pretty, right? To be a pretty little vine, right? That's not the goal. The goal is to bear fruit. But there's still a process that is involved. And inside of John chapter 15, in these first few verses, we get to begin to see just what that process is. And then also, like I said, we get to find our place in it. So I'm going to go ahead and read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5 for us. It says, and I'm going to first preface this, all right? I am, this is Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible at all, right? What I mean by red letters is these are the only letters that are red in your entire Bible, right? And I don't mean like sight red, I mean the color red, right? The only colored red verses are Jesus speaking them, okay? So when he says, I am, and it's in red, that's Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're already going to start breaking this down. And there's three main, quote-unquote, characters in these first five verses. And it starts with that first part. It says, I am, right? I am the vine. So we already can tell who the first character is. Jesus is the vine, right? We're already going to break into that. So Jesus is what we would refer to as the true vine. Then he also explains somebody else. He says, my Father is the gardener or the vine dresser, right? My Father is the one to whom tends the garden or takes care of the vineyard. And then we see the last part, and that is, he says, and you are the branches. Now, who he's speaking to is his followers at this time. We would call that followers, disciples, students, those to whom believe in him. So we now have the three, quote-unquote, main characters. We now actually know the who's who of the garden. And the who's who of the garden is Jesus, the true vine, the Father as the vine dresser or the gardener, and the follower is now the branch, which can allow us then to kind of break into this and say, okay, if we know who they are, then we can also start to break down what is their purpose. And in essence, what is our purpose? Right? What is our goal? What should be our goal? What's our part in the process? Right? And I can still remember, if you were to look at any kind of gardening, right? Again, he states it, the goal is to produce fruit. So keep that in mind as we're going through this. So Jesus is now, if you look at his character, the true vine. So if you were to look around this room, or if you remember the video from the beginning of the service, you remember that there was a stalk that came up from the ground, right? It looked like the only part that touches the ground. And it goes down, and it has the roots that go into the ground, right? And that is the vine, right? That's the true purpose, right? That is the vine. And then you have branches that come off of that true vine. Now, Jesus explains himself as what we would refer to as, and in Scripture it says, the true vine. The true vine. Now, here's the beauty, if you were to look at a grapevine, is that you cannot produce, right? So think about this. If you were to plant a grapevine, and this is common sense, okay? So just before you think I'm asking a question that's way over your head, if you were to plant a grapevine, what is your goal? Grow grapes, thank you. Okay, so if you were to plant a grapevine and your goal was apples, started off wrong. Yeah, I mean, you're like, what are we doing here, right? So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, and anyone attached to me will bear fruit, what he's saying is you don't get to produce your own fruit, you're producing my fruit, right? Because I am the vine, right? He starts out that way. I am the vine. We're not the vine. He is the vine. And then you begin to kind of tear that apart. So if you were to jump back into John chapter 14, verse 6. Now, again, I'm going to read this. It's going to be up on the screen. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus explains what this true vine consists of. He says in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So if this is what the vine consists of, the way to the Father, the truth, and then also life, look at the vine itself. No branch will ever even attempt to have life if it is not attached to the vine. It won't happen. In fact, I will admit, I was going to bring up with me this morning, so you're going to have to imagine it. It's in my hands, okay? Just imagine it's here, right? A branch. And I was going to break it off a new budding maple from our front yard, right? Poor maple tree. And then I was going to look at you and say, hey, look at this little tiny bud. It's starting, right? I can't wait. And this is literally what I was going to, I can't wait until it blossoms. I can't wait until, and all of you are going to look up and say, dude, you just killed that, right? Like, if you're looking forward to it doing what it should have done, you should have left it where it was, right? Because it's not going to do that thing anymore, man. You just stopped it from doing what it was supposed to do. And you were hoping that it was going to be amazing and incredible, but it won't. It will never any longer because it is not attached to the vine. Because inside of the vine, it brings nutrients and it connects us, or the branch, to the roots. That's literally its job. That's the job of the vine, is to connect us back to the root system, to connect us back to the nutrients, to connect us back to what we should be, and then to provide life. Right? That's its goal. Now, I'm going to tell you the goal of every vine is also to produce fruit. It's not just the branch's goal to produce fruit. The vine's goal is to produce fruit. That's what its goal is. So it's going to bring nutrients for that end. It's going to bring everything that is necessary for that end. And when you begin to break this down and see the connection that we should have with Jesus is the same. I began to talk about this last week. I said, we all can look around this room and we are currently in a day and age when we can, and honestly, I don't understand it, but that's fine. When we can look across the room or we can look across the table and we can say, okay, you might believe that, but that's your truth. That's not my truth. Right? If you've never heard that said before, I've heard it said before. Trust me. It's out there. That's not your truth. That's not my truth. That's your truth. And what Jesus is literally saying here is, I am the truth. He doesn't say, I am a truth. He says, I am the truth, period. I am not a way, I am the way. And he doesn't just say, I am a way to the life, to a version of life. He says, I am the life. So now we can begin to break down the vineyard and the parts of the vineyard and see that without Jesus, we will only attempt and fail miserably at our purpose of bearing fruit. We can only attempt and fail miserably without Jesus at producing fruit. Now then he moves on and he says, my Father is the vine dresser. Now, if you have never been around a vineyard before, or you've never gardened before, or you've never been around to these things before, you may not even understand what that even means, right? That he is the vine dresser, right? That looks, well, it sounds kind of interesting, right? He's dressing the vine, right? Now, that's why I would also put he's also the gardener, right? He's also the gardener. And most of us can kind of make that connection, at least. He's the gardener, right? If you plant a garden, you are now, whether you fail at it or not, a gardener. Yes, okay, so it is now up to you to go and tend the garden. Thank you. Okay, we can all roll with this, right? Because I promise you, okay, nobody's going to go and weed your garden for you, right? We may hope that that happens. We may really desire that to happen. We may really want that to happen. But it's not going to happen. The one to whom tends the garden is the Father. Now, he says later that there's two ways that the Father tends the branches that are connected to the vine. And these are two very, very specific ways. But before we get into how he does it, I don't want to breeze over the fact that in this verse there's something that's massively important. So, in verse, let's just jump in to verse 2. It says, he, meaning the Father, cuts off every branch, and then this is the important part. If you underline or highlight or do whatever in your Bible, you should do this, all right? If you're making notes, this is that one time when you can write down and say, this is of vital importance, okay? He cuts off every branch in me. Vital importance, and we'll get to why in just a second. That bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. So how does God, if you were to look at this, how does the Father tend the garden? Well, there's two ways in this one verse, right? Now, the first one is, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, before you guys are worried today, we're not going to talk about pruning, but don't worry too much. We're going to talk about it next week, right? We're going to jump into it, and we're going to talk a lot about pruning next week and what the purpose of pruning is, but I'm not going to cover that today. What I am going to cover today is that other word, that other one that he does, every branch, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over, in me, he cuts off, right? Or he cuts off every branch in me. Now, before we get too deep into this, I want you to understand that the Bible was not written in English. Okay? Let's just be clear on that. The Bible was not originally written in English. It was translated into English, meaning that now we have the ability to write in the words that we think make sense. Right? Here's what cut off actually means if you were to go all the way back, right, into the original language. It means lift up. That's what it actually means. So he lifts up every branch in me that does not bear fruit. He lifts up every branch in me, and I'm going to keep saying in me that does not bear fruit. Why, any gardeners in the room, any vine dressers in the room, anybody that's hung out with grapes, why would you take a branch and lift it up? What would be the purpose of lifting up a branch? And yes, I know, this is question and answer time. You guys can answer me. Say it, wow, okay, hold on. Unless you're going to do one, two, three, and all say the same words, I know, I did ask. Right? So what would be the purpose? Let me start this again. What would be the purpose of lifting up a branch? Support. Where is it if you're lifting it up? Now, this is, I mean, let's go through this process, right? It's on the ground, right? Any plant that's just hanging out on the ground, what's inevitable? It's going to die, or it's going to get dirty, or it's going to begin to rot. Even if it's connected to the actual source, it's still going to be dirty and rotten, and it's not going to be able to produce fruit, because what happens to the leaves? They get caked. They get covered in dust. So here's what a vine dresser does. Now, this is so beautiful. The vine dresser would walk up and begin to walk through the vineyard, and he would gently lean down, and he would lift up the branch, and he would dust off the leaves, and he would lift it as high as he possibly could, and then he would, this is another word for it, tie it up. He's doing this whole process. But why? Why would he gently lean down, gently clean off, gently tie up, and make sure that the sun can now see it, and the rain can now hit it? Why would he do that? What is the purpose of a vine? You don't want to break it, but what's the purpose? To bear fruit. But we've already covered the fact that a branch away from the vine will not bear fruit. That's why I kept coming back to every branch in me, right? He lifts up. He doesn't simply cut it off. He doesn't look at a branch and go, ugh, right? You had your chance, right? Or come by with a pair of weed whippers and just snap the thing off, right? What were you doing, right? What are you doing down there? Now look at your life. Because who are we? We're the branch. And if we're down in the dirt and the mud and the grossness of this world, and we're caught up and we feel like we can't grow, and we're covered in all of the grossness, and we say, there's no way for me to get out of this. I can't do this. Let me answer that question. You can't do this. You, on your own, will not be able to produce fruit. You, on your own, will not be able to produce truth. You, on your own, will not be able to produce the way. You, on your own, will not be able to produce the life. Only He can. So the Father comes, and He will gently come down in the muck and the grossness of your life, and He will gently pick you up, and He will gently dust you off, and he will gently pick you up, and he will gently tie you up. Now, he's not going to do that so that you are happy and comfortable and so that you feel good. Why is he going to do it? To bear fruit. It's so that you will bear fruit. So we now know the goal. It is to bear fruit. And if you feel like you're caked and you're dirty and you're disgusting and there's no way that you can bear fruit, here's what you can ask for. Okay, God, I'm ready for it. Can you clean me up? Can you dust me off? Can you lift me up? Can you bring me closer to you so that I can produce your fruit, not my fruit, so that I can produce your fruit? Because the intent of every vine is to produce fruit. Now, the other one, which we're not going to cover today, is pruning. But we're not going to cover that today. So you can hold off on that one, all right? We're going to talk about the gentle side today. Next week, we can talk about the not-so-gentle side. But here, let me preface that. Let me preface next week. Same goal. It's to produce fruit. There is no other goal in a vineyard than to produce fruit. None. Now, I do want to read one quick thing because I really kind of honed in on in me, right? I kept saying that over and over, in me, okay? I want to read verse 6. It says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Ooh. Right? That's like, man, we took a turn. Here's the thing. Start that verse again. If you do not remain in me. Okay, how are you in the vine? If you are a follower, believer, student, disciple of Christ. If you believe that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and that no other person can come to the Father but through him, the Son. So if you're trying to do this on your own, if you're trying to say, I don't need Jesus, I can live this life on my own, you are like a branch that does not remain in him. You are gathered up, and you can read the rest of the verse. You know what's going to happen. So here's the goal, okay? The goal is that you would remain in Jesus. That's the goal. That you would see his truth, that you would see his way, and that you would see he is the, not a, the life. Which brings us to ourselves. Which is, he says, I am the vine. You, and I can also say me, okay, I'm not the vine. Right? We are the branches. Right? Now here's the beautiful part of the vineyard. And this is where kind of that I don't understand it, all right? Because I don't understand it. I don't get why God has given us the ability to bear fruit. I don't get it. I don't even understand why God has entrusted us to bear fruit. I don't get it. I don't get why God has entrusted us to be able to communicate with him, worship him, find joy in him, find peace in him, find life in him, find love in him. I don't get it. But here's what I can tell you. We can. Because he allows it. So here's the branch's job, okay? Here's the goal or the purpose of the branch. The purpose of the branch, if you read John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So as I was reading through this, I figured out there's pretty much two ways to be a branch. All right? There's just two ways to be a branch. And you can look around the room and you can be like, guys, we're all branches. So here's what we get to do. First, is posture. And the posture is remain. There's nothing else in this verse that says for us to do anything else other than remain. We are to remain. Which means if we were to look at how Jesus demands us to remain, right? Like calls us to remain, encourages us to remain. The first is with humility. That's the first thing. Because we understand that without him, we're not doing anything. Without him, we don't get life. Without him, there is no fruit. Without him, there is no purpose. So first, we have to humble ourselves. It's a posture of humility. It's understanding our place in the vineyard. I am a humble branch. I am not the vine, and I am definitely not the gardener. I don't get to look at all the other branches and be like, prune that guy, right? If it weren't for him, I'd be producing more fruit, right? I'm going to go prune that guy, right? I don't get to do that. I don't get to look over and be like, you're too dirty. You're gross, right? Cut him off. I don't get to do that. What I get to do as a branch is I get to humble myself, take a posture of humility, and understand my job is simply to bear fruit. Now, in 2 weeks, we get to talk about how we do that. How do we bear fruit? Oh man, I'm so excited. How do we bear fruit, right? Put me in, coach, right? How do we bear fruit? Now, here's the beauty, and I'm going to give you a little preview of it. He bears the fruit through us. We don't even get to do that, right? Because we don't get the credit. Again, humility. It's not my fruit. It's his fruit. He's producing fruit through us. So first and foremost, it is a posture of humility. The second is vitality. Now, this word, if you were to look at this word, what it really means is this is where I find my passion, my life, my purpose. Right? So it's a posture of vitality. I don't get to look at Jesus and go, ugh. You kidding me? Again? I got to do this again? I got to produce fruit again? Vitality is passion. I am passionate of my purpose. My purpose is to bear fruit. I want to get up off this ground. God, please get me up off this ground. God, I wish to be healthy. I wish to be clean so that you can produce fruit through me. Passion, vitality, life. But it's simply a posture. It's simply us taking that posture. Because again, it's not doing anything. It's remaining. That's huge, okay? And this is going to be something that it's a concept that we have to at least begin to comprehend. That's why I'm having you guys read John 15. It's why I'm having you guys study through this chapter. Because if you were to study through this chapter, you would begin to see, it really is a mystery. Because it is the opposite of everything in our human nature. We want to be the vine. We want to be the truth. We want to be the life. We want to be all those things. And yet it is a posture as a branch of humility, vitality, and then here's the last thing. It's a posture of stability. Now here's what's beautiful. And I'm going to tell you the easiest time to prepare for a storm. Okay? Is when the sun is shining. Who said it? Is when the sun is shining, right? That's the easiest time to prepare for a storm. You know the worst time to prepare for a storm? When it's raining buckets, right? That's the worst time to be like, okay, you know what? I didn't really like relate with God. I wasn't really remaining with God, and now there's chaos in my life. So now I really wish I could remain with God. Whew, that's gonna be hard. Not impossible because he's possible, but man, it's gonna be hard. It is stability. So I'm going to tell you now, If it's sunning, if the sun is shining in your life right now, if it's decent in your life right now is the best time to resolve in your life that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Because when we fall down in that dirt and our leaves get caked and we get dirty and we're not doing what we feel like we can do and we can't pick ourselves up, we look back and say, God is still good. Stability. But it is a posture that we must take. Again, it feels like we're doing something. It feels like we're so active in this, right? It feels like I can do this. And then you start looking at these verses and you realize, I'm not actually doing much. In fact, what I'm trying to do, it keeps mucking this thing up, right? It keeps ruining the fruit. I just keep falling off the vine, right? I'm falling down. I keep getting into the dirt because I'm trying to do. And I'm not letting Christ do through me. I'm not remaining in Him. I'm not understanding my place. Which also means I'm not understanding my purpose. So first, as the branch, as humble branches, as we all look around, we can say, okay, so this is the posture that we must take. We must remain. Why are we remaining? What's the purpose of remaining? To produce fruit. To bear fruit. That's the purpose. There is no other purpose in remaining in Jesus other than to produce fruit. It's not even for my own benefit. Again, I already said this before. It's not so that I'm happy and comfortable and awesome and amazing and beautiful. Right? That's not the purpose. The purpose is to bear fruit. And in 2 weeks, we're going to cover the process of bearing fruit. And I'm telling you now, I'm already looking forward to 2 weeks from now. But first, we have to understand what it means to remain. Now, you might be asking, okay, I'm ready to remain. Right? I'm ready. Kind of funny to say that, right? I'm ready to wait. Right? I'm ready to hold on. I'm ready to do, to try. I'm ready. So how do I do this, right? How will my life look different? Right? So here's what I'm going to tell you. If we remain, here's what will begin to look different in your life. If we remain in Jesus, if we remain in the true vine, here's what will look different in our life. First, you will begin, okay? You ready? There's three things. If you remain in Jesus, you will begin to learn like Him. Now, you might be asking, what does that mean? Here's the beauty. The disciples followed Him for 3.5-ish years. And here's what they watched. A lot of going away and being with the Father. They watched Jesus go away and be with the Father. They were learning that. And Christ learned from the Father. So now we're looking and saying, okay, so if my life, if I begin to remain, take a posture of humility, vitality, stability, I got this. My purpose is to produce fruit, right? How is my life going to begin to look different? First is I'm going to start to learn like Jesus. How do I learn like Jesus? First thing is I'm going to challenge you, if you will, to have intimacy. Now, here's what that means, right? It's prayer life. How can you have a prayer life? How can you communicate? I will tell you, the number one relationship that I have, that I can at all relate to God, okay, is my relationship with my wife. That's the closest thing I have, okay? And when I look at the relationship that I have with my wife, and if there's anybody else who's married around here. I think we all are about to see where I'm headed with this, right? Do I always need to ask what I should be doing? Is there what we would refer to as nonverbal communication? Right? Is there the fact that I have gotten to know my wife and that I know who she is? I know what she does, and I know how to love my wife. Now, here's the other thing. I also know how not to. And I can get really good at both. So if we're looking at learning like him, learning like Jesus, Jesus had intimacy with the Father. He had a prayer life with the Father. I will encourage you to communicate with the Father. And how you can communicate with the Father is first by prioritizing that. So I would encourage you, if you're a scheduling kind of person, if your whole day is scheduled and you're going to say, I'm too busy for that, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Take 10 minutes and go ahead and just cancel whatever that meeting was. Okay? Probably wasn't important anyways. And it's definitely not more important than what I'm about to tell you to do. Take 10 minutes and say, I want intimacy with the Father. Just put prayer. Now, it's going to be awkward at first, I promise you. If you've never done it before, it's going to be awkward. Okay? Do it a couple times. It gets less awkward. Communicate with him. Tell him your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations. Do that. Right? Now, here's the other thing. Is intimacy also comes by reading his word. We just learned that you can learn to like coffee. It can happen. It might take a few years, but it can happen, okay? So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. If you're a coffee drinker, put your Bible right next to your coffee pot. Put it on top of your coffee pot, right? And when you go and sit down in the morning, or you go and you're running around in the morning, and you say, hey, man, this is a priority now. Because I guarantee you coffee was. Right? And if you're not a coffee drinker, put it on your pillow so that when you lay your head on this, this is the first thing you hit. Right? Man, this is uncomfortable. Right? So that you can have that time. You're setting a priority to have intimacy and learn like him. Now, here's the other thing, is to live like him. How can we live like him? Jesus lived a life of humility and love. Love equals selflessness, meaning that we desire to serve. He desired to serve. In fact, it says that he came to serve and not be served. So how can we do that? Is we can begin to look around this room, we can begin to look around the community that we're a part of, or the neighbors that we have, or the workplaces that we're in, or the families that we are in, or the schools that we're in, and we can begin to look and say, how can I show him to them? How can I show love to them? Now, I'll tell you right now, we have an awesome opportunity, and this is just one opportunity. We have an awesome opportunity if you would like to participate. It's not the only way, so don't feel like if you can't do this one, I can't live like him. Right? And that is on April 24th at 6:30 p.m. I'm making a plug. You can talk to Ryan if you want more details. We're going to go out and we're going to clean Vermontville. Why are we going to do that? Because I live there. No, I'm joking. Right? And to think, no. Because there's a Maple Fest. It's a Syrah Fest. It's happening. Right? And we're going to go out, and we're going to clean up the town. Why are we going to clean up the town? So that we can serve the community. Here's the beautiful part of that, is we're not looking for a pat on the back. We're simply looking to serve the community that we're a part of. That's it. And when people ask, here's what I'm going to tell you. If people ask, tell them Jesus loves them. If they're like, why are you doing this? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. It'll throw them off. Start a conversation with them if they want to. Right? Now here's the beautiful thing. Let's say hypothetically that you don't meet anybody when you're out there. Remember that first thing? The whole like learning like him? You can pray the whole time. If you're looking and you're saying, I'm too busy, come to this, set that time aside, serve like him, live like him, and you can, we're getting there. The last thing is that we can learn to love like him. Right? And we can begin to extend, and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now, opening our doors. Walking across the room has been talked about for a year. Opening our doors has been talked about for a couple of weeks, right? What that refers to is that we can walk across this room and we can introduce ourselves. Now, here's the beauty is that we're not just introducing ourselves, we're also introducing who lives in us, right? But we're not just saying, hey, do you know Jesus straight out? We talked about that at the beginning. We're showing that we care. Because Jesus showed first that he cared. So we will begin to learn like him. We will begin to love like him. And we begin to live like him. Now, if you're looking and you're saying, okay, I'm going to put my Bible on my coffee pot, or I'm not a coffee drinker. So I'm going to put my Bible on my pillow, or I'm going to put it wherever that I'm going to obviously run into it. Where do I start? What am I supposed to do? Well, this whole month, we're in a chapter, John 15. And I would encourage you, this whole Sunday morning, we've been preaching about 5 verses. I would take a look at some point this week and say, I'm going to reread these 5 verses on my own and continue to ask questions, continue to dig deeper. Because here's the beauty of this book. It's unlike any other book. This is a living book. And when you open up to John chapter 15 and you begin to read it, you're going to start to ask questions. But again, go back. There is a purpose and there is a posture that we must take. And that posture begins with us humbling ourselves and looking to him for the answers. So I'm going to give you just a couple minutes at your table right now. It's not discussion time. If you want to, you can have some discussion. But which of these areas, right? Which of these 3 areas, right? Learning like him, living like him, or loving like him, are you wanting to focus on this week? Man, I really need to set aside some time and pray. Man, I really need to set aside some time and open up this book. Man, I really need to set aside some time so that I can go out and serve, or so that I can find opportunities to serve. Maybe there's people that are hurting and I need to find opportunities. I need to keep my eyes up for those opportunities. Or man, I got to start loving like him and not like me. I got to start loving on these people like he would. So take a couple minutes, and if you need to, you can kind of discuss a little bit, but I'm going to encourage you to spend some time in prayer asking God to help you in one of these 3 areas this week. Go for it.
to build those relationships, to help us to be the vine and to be tied in a different direction other than the direction we always want to go, Lord, so that we can bear fruit. We just thank you for this message. Pray that you would help us to apply it to our life.
Amen.